Go ahead and get started here. Welcome to the next session. I'd like to introduce Mr. Danny Wong, who's going to be talking about creating Tizen native apps with a native UI and graphics framework. Please, when it comes time for questions and answers, use the microphone or raise your hand and I'll bring it to you.
Okay, hello. Is the mic on? Is the mic on? Okay. So hello everyone. My name is Danny. I'm the principal engineer in charge of the native UI and graphics frameworks in Tizen. So I'm happy to introduce. Just a minute.
It has to go. I'll put it up here, then don't touch.
Okay, I won't.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so it's better. So my name is Danny Huang. I am the principal engineer in charge of Tizen native UI and graphics. And I'm very happy to be able to introduce some of these features to you. Okay. So these are the topics that I want to cover today. I will be going through some of the UI and graphics features. And I've not made a decision yet because some of the material here is, I'm showing you source code. So you can, if you want, you can follow through, but I'm not sure if everyone can read the source code. So I might just go very briefly through source code and kind of focus a bit more on the features. But on the other hand, the code snippets that you do see here, it's the same pattern that's used in all of the Tizen native C++ apps. So the patterns you see here are, if you can get familiar with the patterns used here, then you can recognize all the Tizen native coding. And it's not different or particularly difficult to use. Okay, so I have a couple of slides just showing you some of the screenshots from some of the native applications that were created using the UI and graphics. So these applications are applications that's part of the SDK. So you have access to the source code, and you can compile, build, and run these applications. So you can see near commercial quality applications that can be created using the native C++ UI. Now, as for the UI, there's also a web UI framework which provides the same look and feel. So you can create these same kind of applications using the web UI framework as well. So the UX is common regardless of whether you use the web framework or the native framework. So there's that aspect. And just coming back to the native, so we have many controls. Controls are what's called widgets in the web. So we have many controls. And a lot of 2D and 3D features for effects and animations. And all the controls are themeable, so you can customize the color, text, images for many of the controls. So if you want your application to have your look and feel, you can do that as well. And this is the screenshot of some of the controls that's provided. Starting from the top left, you can see just buttons, sliders, check buttons with different styles. Date and time pickers, color pickers, lists, grid-like icon lists, different types of input, single line, multi-line, different types of keypads. You have full screen pickers, image viewers, different styles of headers and footers you can use in your applications, pop-ups, context menus. So there are some 40-plus controls that you can use in your applications. And most of the controls are configurable. You can change the colors, bitmaps, sizes, many things that you can alter. Okay, this is similar to the slide you saw in the earlier presentation. So Tizen has the website and the native side, and the applications use these open APIs. And we have the core layer. If we look at the topic that I'll be addressing here is mostly the graphics and the UI, and some other modules that are related to UI and graphics. And I want to look a bit more into detail that view about the UI. So everything is based on the core libraries. They're all open source libraries. You have Evas eCore, Cairo, FreeType2, FontConfig, EGL, OpenGL for the 3D things, and it's all running on X Windows. So the native framework is something that it's fully utilizing the open source, the core components. the native framework itself is open source. The source code is public. And here I will be discussing mostly the two namespaces, the UI namespace and the graphics namespace. And the UI namespace is further broken into sub-namespaces for animations, effects, scenes, IME. This is for the downloadable IME, the soft keypad, input keypad, and controls, graphics, and OpenGL for 3D graphics. So the graphics namespace is for 2D graphics. So we have these kind of modules that we'll be taking a look at today. So I'll start with a very simple UI application, a description of some of the controls, and then move on to a bit more fancy animations and visual effects, and then jump over to the graphics namespace, 2D and 3D, and some of the utilities that we provide. Okay, so the very first Hello Tizen application. So it's to create this application, you don't need to worry about source code. Start using the IDE from the project wizard. You can create a new project using a form-based simple application, and this is what's created. You have a header area, a button in the content, and a footer. So if I want to take a bit more look and in detail at some of the components here. So everything starts with a frame. One application has to have one frame. One UI application has to have a frame. So the frame is like the main window, the root window. And a frame can have several forms. A form is the unit of the workflow. So if you have a list of contacts, the list would be the first form. And then if you select one list item, you go to the details view of that list, that would be the second form. So you have multiple forms, and you transition between different forms to do your UI. And each form consists of the indicator, header, footer, and rest of the client area, which can host other controls, or lists, in this case a button. So control is that. It's all the basic controls that we have here. Everything is a control. Some controls can host other controls. So a frame can host a form. Form can host things like the header, button, footer. So these controls that can contain, these controls are called containers. So everything is either a control or a container. So this container and control, this relationship is important because in order for a control to be made visible, it has to be attached to the root frame. So a button is only a button when it's attached to a form which is attached to a frame. And so this hierarchy has to be maintained in order for all the controls to be made visible. Okay, so these are some of the basic components. And then to the a bit more detail into creating a form yourself. And this is something that's also kind of covered in the previous session, but here. So we've created a form, any control, a form is a control. So any form or any control that gets created needs to be constructed, and it needs to be added to its parent in order to be ready for use. And so when that attachment occurs, there's an on-initializing callback. So at this point, when this function gets called, I know that I can fully use this control. So I can do things like, you know, add, create control, other controls, and add controls to that form, etc., in this callback. And similarly, when the form is being destroyed, there is a on-terminating callback, which gets called before the form itself is destroyed. So here, I can do my resource cleanup and things like that. So to create my own form, I've inherited from the form class, and I created a my form, and I've implemented the on-initializing, on-terminating virtual functions. It's optional. You don't have to implement these functions, but you probably want to use that. So I've created a form. And I want to take a bit more detailed look at the exact steps that I have to take. So I've created an instance of my form with a new, so it's in the heap. I call construct to that form with several styles. I want to use the indicator, I want to use the header, I want to use the footer. So I specify these and I've constructed it. And once I've constructed a form, I have to attach it to the frame. So I'm getting the frame from the application. Please tell me what the pointer to the frame is. And to the frame, I'm adding the control, the form to the frame. So now the form is usable. So a frame can now have many forms, and I need to specify which one is the one that you want to use. So you use from the frames set current form to specify which form is now the current one, and then you let the system know that the screen has been changed, so you probably want it to be updated. So there are different ways of doing that by calling invalidate. It allows the system to update the screen at its earliest convenience. Or you can force it to be drawn using draw and show commands, but it's better to let the system handle most of the screen updates. Okay, so we've created from the Hello Tizen basic application, we've created a second form. And this is just an example of how you go about doing event handling. So in the My Form example, I've also decided to implement an interface for handling these touch events. So in this example, I've added a button to my form. So let me add a handler for that button. So to do that, I have to implement the iActionEventListener. And that requires that I implement this pure virtual function on action performed. So this function will get called whenever a button gets pressed. So in order to use this, in my form, say in onInitializing, which is the best place to do these kind of initializing tasks, I am setting myself as the action event listener. So when the button gets pressed, the MyForm's on action performed gets called, and it's passed along an integer specifying which button was pressed. So you can do things here. So in this case, you might want to transit to the previous form. So now we have two forms. And just a simple example of how to create a transition animation between the two forms that we've created. Each frame has a utility called a frame animator, and it helps out with this transition animations. So I've retrieved the frame animator from the frame, and then I'm setting the set form transition animation. I'm setting a specific type of animation and different values. So I want to have a translate left. I want the new form to sweep in from the left for 500 milliseconds, and the timing function I'm using is this linear type. So once I've set the properties for the animation I want to use, whenever through the animator, that new form is made, the current form, set current form animation occurs, and you get the smooth animation between the two forms. Okay, so this is an example of an implicit animation. Basically, I've just added these kind of animation properties, and all I've done is make a different form the current one, and then animation occurred. So a bit more detail into animation. So basically an animation is a start value and end value, and values in between, the key values that's created using different timing functions. So what can you animate? You can animate position, size, alpha. So you can make controls fade in, fade out. You can do rotation. So by changing these kind of properties, you can do animation very easily against the controls. And these are some of the classes that's provided. So you can do integer animation, animation of integer values, float, and dimension, all different types. And you can listen to different events of the animation. The animation has started, it's been interrupted by someone, it's finished. And there's a nice sample, UI control animator sample in the SDK, which shows you how the different interpolators would appear and some of the different properties. And you can just move the slider around and change the duration values and see how each animations appear. So another example is, so if I want to move a button from one place to another, I've created a button, and what I'm creating this time is a control animator. I showed you the frame animator previously. So each control has a control animator. And then to the control animator, I'm creating a point animation. Since I'm moving a button from one place to another, it's basically I'm changing the position, which is a point value. So I'm creating a point animation, which has a starting position and the end position, and for a duration of this amount of time. using this kind of timing function to create the points in between. This point animation is defined. And then, I can explicitly command this type of animation to occur. Start user animation. I'm animating the position, and I'm using the point animation defined above. So this way, I can do explicit animation. So this is a bit, if you want to do combine different animations, you could group different animations together and then start animation at the same time. So you can combine and mix the animations you saw in the previous screen. Just a couple more slides about the animation. And in the... Okay, this one is actually supposed to... These are video clips. They're supposed to animate, but for some reason on this PC they're not. So what this is I want to give you a brief introduction on a control we have called the visual element. It's actually... What you would have seen is a cover flow type of animation, these pages flipping, a gallery in a 3D with a spiral type of a motion. So what visual element is a simple way to do things that you can always do using OpenGL. So if you are a GL programmer, you can do all of these kind of fancy effects without using visual element. But using the visual element is a lot easier to create these kind of animations. The visual element is a very lightweight control. It's a 2D rectangle which we can manipulate in 3D using different 4x4 transformation matrices. And it also supports implicit animation and explicit animations. So by just changing the property of a control, say the alpha value, you can make it fade away. And then you can also change the size, position, the perspective, and do this kind of simulated 3D look. And it can utilize GPU hardware, so it runs fast on the mobile devices that we have. And all the controls, the UI controls, are actually made up of using the visual elements. So everything that's possible with the UI controls, more is possible using visual element directly. Okay. So this is, even though you don't see the animation, this is something that our Tizen Store application, which is a native application, wanted to have this kind of a cover flow animation. So one of our engineers spent a couple of days and made these animations for the store app developers. And this is similarly, you can change different properties. Here the properties are a bit more extensive. You can change not only the bounds, the opacity, you can show, hide, you can change the anchor positions. But there are also interesting transformations, rotate, scale, translation. Or the X, Y, Z, or the different axes. So you can manipulate these controls in 3D. So there is, to complete the 3D aspect of it, there is the Z position. And there are different Z order groups. So you can have different layers of animations. And in addition to these default controls properties, you can add custom properties as well. And since implicit animation is supported, if you change the property, the animation starts right away. So since I'm now in the talking about the visual aspects, let me just jump to the graphics namespace. And the graphics namespace provides 2D graphics features and 3D graphics features. For 2D graphics features, the most important aspect is the canvas. Canvas is basically the memory buffer where all the drawing occurs. So in this example, I've gotten there's an API, getCanvasN. So I'm getting a canvas, and to this canvas, I've cleared it and set colors and draw ellipse. So I can manipulate, I can do things to the canvas. And you can see that here I am deleting the canvas. The one convention that's used in Tizen throughout is that when I receive a pointer to an object, but the function ends at the end postfix, it means that the ownership has changed to me. So I am responsible for deleting this control, deleting the memory. So that's why here I have to remember to delete myself. Delete the canvas. So when I can use the canvas and do all this, apply the 2D graphics API and draw things on screen. And these are some of the 2D primitives available. You can do draw pixels, lines, polylines, triangles, rectangles, arcs, polygons, ellipses. You can draw text, and you can draw bitmaps. And there are various styles that you can apply to these primitives. And for 3D, most of it, it's using OpenGL ES. So EGL and OpenGL ES 1.1, 2.0 are supported. It's the same code that any EGL code would be, with the only difference being that the window type that the rendering occurs to is from the UI controls namespace. So in this example, I'm specifying my form to be the window, to be the native window. If I do not need the indicator, header, footer, I can just make the frame to be my native window, or I can make it a much smaller panel. So I can embed a GL area within a UI application. So it's easy to mix and match GL and UI controls. And since OpenGL ES is supported, you can do all the different kind of things that you need to do. And companies like Havok and Unity have used the GL API support their game engines. But this is something interesting that we provide. We provide a couple of utilities to make things a bit easier. So what this does is we're mapping a canvas to a GL texture. So a texture is created for GL drawing, and from this GL texture, I'm associating a canvas texture. And from this canvas texture, I can retrieve the canvas. So I created a GL texture, I've gotten a canvas from it, and to the canvas, I can apply all of the Tizen native 2D graphics APIs. I can draw line, I can draw text, and then bind the texture so that I can make it appear on screen. So this way, it's easy to map utilize the Tizen 2D UI features in 3D as well. And the next one is similar. It's a video texture. So what you can do is you can cause video stream to be decoded to a frame and have that frame map to the GL texture. So one difference between this and the canvas texture is, since I'm getting multiple frames, I need to be notified when each frame is actually available so I can do the binding and drawing it. So there's a listener involved, but it's a similar concept to the canvas texture. So we have these couple of utilities that you can use as well. Okay, so I went through very briefly through the UI and the graphics namespaces, and I want to spend a bit more time going into some of the more complex or advanced features. And some of this is from the UI namespace, but some also from the Tizen colon shell namespace. Okay, those are some interesting features as well. The first one from the UI namespace is the accessibility. So Tizen supports some accessibility features for visibly impaired users. For the font size, there is nothing that's not something that's provided by the framework, except that if the user has set the settings to use a large font, then it is possible for the application to retrieve that setting. And so the application should change the content of the screen to be more visible using larger fonts. So we do provide some reference and some guidelines on what type of font sizes to use and what font the user has selected. But it's basically up to the application to take this information and make the best usable application. We have a screen reader, which is which it reads. It's a voice reader for the different controls. And when the accessibility mode is on, the screen reader mode is on, there is another layer on top of the UI, the full screen, so that all the touch input gets handled by this additional layer. So it translates the touch events. So whereas previously, if you touched on an area, that item would get selected. But when the accessibility is on, when you select on an area, it just changes the focus to that area. And to actually have that area be selected, you have to do a double tap on the screen. So it doesn't really matter where you're touching. So if you, for instance, if you touch here and then double tap here, So the focus would be in under the first item. That's the one that gets selected. You can sweep to the right, which will move the focus to the next item. You can sweep to the left, which will move the focus to the previous item. So you can navigate this way. Now, all the default controls, the UI controls, have a default accessibility container, meaning it has a default setting of some texts and items that it reads to the user. So it reads things like the label, the trait, and the hint. So a button would have a label that the application has set. If the application set a button to be an OK button, then the label will be the OK by default. The trait, since it's a button control, it will be a button. And for a hint, you might want to ask something like, you know, press this button to do something. And since there's no way for it to be provided by default, a default button does not have a, you know, default hint value. So all the UI controls try to guess at the best information possible to create a default behavior. But there are areas where the application developer has to add their own controls, add their own information. So it's possible to access the accessibility container of each control, and you can define or modify each accessibility element by specifying different labels, traits, hints. So this way, you can create or enhance your applications to support accessibility mode better. The next one is the downloadable IME. So it's very easy to create a soft input keypad. I'm not going to show any code, but it's even easier. You can, from the application wizard, you can create the IME, a downloadable IME application. And once you build and run this application, what happens? Actually, nothing happens because it does not have a default UI. It's just installed. So you have to go to the settings and actually activate the one that you just created, My IME. And once that's been set as the default IME, whenever you go to any application that requires that has an input area, then the custom keypad would show up. Okay. And to create this keypad itself, it's basically a frame that has some smaller buttons. You can add different buttons. So these are ones that's added by default, but of course you can add different buttons where do other UI to this area. And there's an easy way to provide some settings or configuration for this IME. There's a key and value list that you can define in XML. Say if you have you want to turn something on or off, you specify a label and then the state, on or off. And then the settings application actually parses that XML and creates this UI for you. So you don't have to go about creating an application that provides the settings interface. You can just provide what kind of data you're interested in, and this UI is provided by the system. And this was also covered in the app settings title in the earlier presentation. So we have downloadable IME. And we have something interesting some of the more visual 3D effects. What you would have seen here is that this sort of page curl type of effect is what is the video that's embedded here. So using visual effects, using visual elements, using the UI controls, the various animators, you can do a lot of effects, you can do some translations, but it's not full 3D. There is no 3D model. It's just, you're just manipulating everything just only in 3D space. And this one is not a full 3D UI framework, but it allows us to define a 3D model using points. So I'm creating a surface with different points and different relationships between these points. Here I have a rod, which is a rigid type of relationship. I have a spring here, which has elasticity values. So what happens is when I move this point, all the points in between move along in the same direction, but it's affected by this elasticity value. So the surface that's created by these points, it would kind of like morph to appear like a page. So it's possible to do those kind of animations using the Effect Manager. We have a tool, the Effect Manager, Effect Builder tool, which you can use to model these kind of different 3D effects. And for scalable UI, we have a concept of a logical coordinate system. So regardless of what the actual resolution of the device is, if you specify, say, 720 as being the logical resolution, the base that you want to use, the shortest width, the shortest edges dimension is now in 720. So even if this application is running in, say, a WVGA device, 480, that 720 will get mapped to 480. So most of the times, if you just create for 720, it will translate to WQVGA. Now, that takes care of some of the issues, but there are still differences in the aspect ratio. A HD resolution device is longer than a WVGA resolution device. So you still have to handle for the difference in the aspect ratio. And you can use tools like the layout manager of a relative, linear, horizontal, and vertical grid car layouts. So in this example, we have one control which is has a relationship with the bottom edge of this container with this kind of margins. And we have this control which has relationship, it's specified to be on the left side of this control with this kind of margins, etc. So you're able to specify controls in a relative way. And finally, there's a bitmaps and the XML layout can also be, at runtime, it loads the one that best fits the current resolution of the device or the current size of the screen. So it's possible for your application, your one source code, to prepare these resources so that you can adapt to the different resolutions easily.
6 minutes,
okay. So the scene manager. I showed you previously how you can transition between different forms. Now, it gets a bit more complex when you have different UI flows going in, out of the places. So we provide a scene manager where you can define various scenes. If you define scene 1 to be a form 1, scene 2 to form 2, you can transition between those forms by just go forward, go back. And you can, when you go forward to different scenes, you can keep the history so that you can just go back to the previous scene. You can choose to, when you transition from one form, one scene to another, to delete the previous scene so that you can save memory, or you can keep it in memory so that you can load it even faster. So there are different ways of doing the UI workflow using the scene manager. A couple of slides about notifications. So there are different ways, you know, just a couple of APIs to show these kind of pop-up indications in this status bar on the indicator area. You can show just text, you can show the icon, you can get user input. It's possible to do persistent controls, so you can show something for a longer duration. And it's also possible to create a quick panel frame with which you can actually add different controls, so you can make custom music players and things like that to show in the notification tray area. And finally, the dynamic box. This is a square-like, it's a square, various sizes. You can show different information, and when you do a flick down on it, you get a drop view, it's the pop-up, and you can add, show more content. So this, a home screen or idle or lock, those screens can host these dynamic boxes, and you can create many applications in this way. The dynamic box is a bit complex because it's running in the home or the idle or those kind of host environment. But the complexity is all hidden behind the app widget provider. So you have to just implement a couple of areas when it's initialized, when it needs to be updated. And you can set in the manifest the duration that you want it to be. If you want your dynamic box to be updated periodically, you can set that value in the manifest and have it always be updated. And this is the final slide on some of the other namespaces that you might want to look into. We have various access to sensors. We have STT, speech-to-text, text-to-speech, applications, media, and a web control. It's a full-blown browser you can embed in your application. And just some, I have three tools here. The UI builder for doing the layouting, effect builder for the 3D animation I showed you previously, and you can customize each control, the colors, bitmaps, and create your own themes for each. And you can embed a theme in your application. Okay, so that's what I have for you.
We have 3 minutes for questions.
Perfect. Just only one question.
You mentioned right at the beginning of your talk that you have these transitions between one frame and the other. Can you also apply transitions to controls that are within the frame? Like if you want to make a button smaller, bigger, push it over, is that the same mechanism or is that a different mechanism?
That's the same mechanism. You can do that by using the control animator, and you can do, you can change several properties, position, size, and you can group those and do the animation at the same time.
Okay, so that's the frame easy. Animator was just an example of many different animators.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
This isn't strictly a graphics question, but you mentioned early on about sometimes be responsible for deleting memory that we'd allocated. So are things like Boost and STL supported, and do you have any idea what type of performance hit, battery hit they cause?
I only know that Boost and STL is supported, but I can't answer about how that affects the power consumption.